This is If It Ain't Got That Swing by Taryn P. Lupo, narrated by Adam Lishua. If you enjoy this audiobook, please consider supporting the author by purchasing this book on websites such as Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. Knock, knock, knock. Murray, it's Ethan! Open up! The door flung open, and Murray's father stood in the doorway with a stern look on his face. Ethan said, I know it's real late, Mr. Solomon, but I need to talk to you both immediately. Mr. Solomon motioned Ethan to enter and escorted him to the parlor. Murray emerged from his bedroom, rubbing his eyes.
Ethan, what's all this now?
My cousin who owns the jewelry store is gone. Murray's mother popped her head around the corner. What do you mean, gone? He went into work to do some inventory, but never came home. His wife went to go check on him and found the store completely smashed up. He was gone, and so was all the jewelry, too. She is hysterical and has locked her family up in her house. I asked around, and I found out it was a squad of those damn jackbooted Nazis. I knew it was those bastards breaking into Jewish businesses. Ethan nervously fumbled with a cigarette. What the hell is going on in this town? This is the fifth business owner who has just disappeared. Their families vanish a day later and nobody knows where.
Mr. Solomon put his hand on the hysterical young man.
Calm down. We need to take you to the temple and tell them what you know.
Ethan pushed away the man's hand. What's the point? They can't protect us. Something bad is going on here, and we need to escape this country while we can still sneak out. I don't feel safe here anymore. They're starting to take away my family. Mrs. Solomon cut in. I'm sure your cousin is fine. He is probably just giving his information to an officer right now so they can find the stolen goods.
Murray yelled at his mother. Come on, Amy, open your eyes. The Nazis are taking people to camps. I think Ethan is right. We should consider joining our family in Poland.
His father's voice boomed. That's enough, both of you. We are going to the temple and they will help us. My family and my business are not going anywhere.
Mrs. Solomon added, Ethan, you need to stay here with us tonight where it's safe. The night patrols have really been picking up and you might not make it back home. Ethan mumbled sarcastically, Safe? Mr. Heisenberg and Klaus quietly opened the door and headed for the kitchen.
You can wash the blood out in the sink, Schütze von Leopold.
Thank you, Unteroffizier. Klaus made his way to the basin and started scrubbing the crimson out of his sleeve. Heidi walked into the room with a lamp to investigate the voices. Klaus? What are you doing here this late? Where's my father? Mr. Heisenberg put his finger over his lips and walked toward the gaslight.
Quiet, Heidi. I don't wish to disturb your mother.
What's going on here, father? I see blood on Klaus. Are you too hurt? Her father handed the young man a towel.
This is perfect. Come, give Heidi the present you got her. I want to see you give it to her.
The soldier blushed. I was going to wait until the next time we saw each other, but I always do what your father tells me. Klaus pulled a chain out of his pocket, which flickered in the gaslight. Heidi gasped as he placed it in her hand. She held it in the light and inspected the hand-shaped charm hanging off of it. Is this real gold? Oh, it's beautiful. This charm is so exotic-looking. Renati is going to be so jealous when she sees this. Thanks, Father. Thank you, Klaus. I just love it. The two men nodded at each other and grinned at Heidi's reaction. Her father said,
He thought you would like it. Say goodnight to him and get back to bed.
She grinned as she walked away. Thank you, Klaus. Murray unlocked his store.
Any news yet about your uncle?
Ethan shook his head. Nothing. And now his family is gone, too. I'm not sure if they left or something worse happened to them. The two pushed their way into the shop and locked up.
I'm very sorry about your cousin. I'm with you. Something very wrong is going on around here. I want to leave too, but my dad refuses to consider it, and my mother still thinks everyone is on a vacation and coming back.
I hear you. My parents won't leave either. They are convinced that this whole Nazi thing will pass and everything will get better. I am seriously considering going without them. Didn't you say you have relatives in Poland?
I can't leave. My family needs my help to keep this haberdashery running well.
The two slid the table to the side of the room, and Murray smiled.
Did I tell you I found one?
Really? How on earth did you get one?
Murray lifted the suitcase onto the table.
I had to ask everyone I knew and make a lot of deals, but I finally pulled it off. I spent almost everything I have been saving for 2 years on it. The only problem is that it only has this one album with it. We have to be extra careful.
Murray opened the phonograph, revealing a shiny curved aluminum arm and turntable. He removed the crank from the storage area and carefully inserted it into the side of the wooden, leather-coated box, turned the handle for a solid minute, and let it come to rest. He carefully pulled the shellac album out of the case and blew the dust off. He swung the arm and needle into position and flicked the play switch. He carefully lowered the metal needle onto the spinning disc. The sounds of cracking and popping started up as the music came to life. Ethan laughed.
I can't believe it. This is the one record you have. What a strange coincidence. I sang this to them last week.
Murray grew excited. Take a listen. This is a very rare recording where Duke Ellington actually sings the song himself. We might only have one vinyl, but it's a great one. He straightened his white suit and polished his shoes.
Why are you fully togged to the bricks? You know the girls won't be dressed up tonight.
I have a little gift I want to give her tonight, so I wanted to look jiggy. A knock at the back door caught their attention. Murray unlocked it and showed the two ladies in trench coats in. We are so happy you Schwingpuppis made it. We have a big surprise for you.
He grabbed Heidi's hand and led her into the back room.
She cooed.
Oh, Murray, it's fabulous. Did you get that just for us?
Murray nodded his head vigorously. Now we don't have to hear Ethan's terrible singing. We can really roll up the rug and get stomping now.
As she leaned over to inspect the Victrola, her neckline allowed a peek of her shapely cleavage. Murray stood slack-jawed and lost all train of thought. She picked up the shellac disc and read the label.
Is this what I think it is?
Murray chewed on his bottom lip as he continued to stare down her dress. Heidi put together what was going on and stood up to break her voluptuous spell on him.
Duke actually sings it himself. The backside is great, too. It's Cab Calloway. Are you jazz kittens ready to get started?
Heidi playfully pulled his brim over his eyes.
Depends. How hard have you been practicing?
He adjusted his hat so he could look her in those bright green eyes.
Every minute of every day. Ethan, play that jazz, Hepcat. I want to take this kitten out for a spin.
Ethan replaced the steel needle and cranked the gramophone. He flicked a lever and static and crackles filled the air. Murray's mouth morphed into a seductive smile, and he stepped in close with confidence. He pulled her much closer than proper dance position called for. As the vocals started, Murray commanded a strong lead and locked onto her gaze. A flush of red pumped across her face as he focused all his attention on her. She felt his rhythm, his power, his longing to please her, all in his presence. This was not the same clumsy boy she had fallen on top of weeks ago. Her pulse quickened, and her brow glowed. Their heartbeats synced together just like their footwork. Murray was on top of his game, and the beat flowed through him without errors. Renate and Ethan noticed their close dance position and whispered into each other's ears. As the song ended, Murray dipped her deeply, so close that the tips of their noses touched. The Shellac 78 came hushed to an end, and he supported her body weight with one arm, drinking up her beauty. He raised her slowly back to her feet and released his tight grip. Heidi fanned herself as she tried to slow her pulse. Ethan broke the mood.
Do you swing dolls need a drink?
Renate grabbed her best friend's hand and dragged her away from Murray.
Yes, please.
We will be looking at hats. The two young women moved into the main store, out of earshot. Renate wiped her friend's glistening forehead.
You look like he just hypnotized you. I saw the way you're looking at him. Do you really like him?
He's Yudin.
Heidi squirmed.
Well, maybe. But don't you like Ethan? I'm pretty sure he's a Jew, too.
Both the girls exchanged uncomfortable looks until Renate sighed.
Now what? I really like him, too. Our fathers would never forgive us if they knew what we're doing right now.
They must never know. We have to keep quiet and behind closed doors.
Murray walked in, and the two clammed up.
Renate, can you give me a few minutes alone with Heidi?
Heidi dismissed her friend, and Renate joined Ethan for a smoke. Murray slowly moved into Heidi's personal space, and she backed up into a hat rack. A large purple bonnet fell on her head, and both of them chuckled.
If you wanted to try some hats on, all you had to do was ask me.
She adjusted the brim.
Do you have a mirror?
Murray played along and returned with a hand glass.
I think it fits you pretty well. I should maybe take it down a size.
Heidi switched hats to a bright yellow, ornate one.
I like the feathers on this one.
Murray pulled another one off the rack.
I like this one. Here, take a look.
He moved closer and manipulated the felt lip. She stood completely still as he moved close enough for them to feel each other's breath. He dug through his pocket.
I got you something I think would match that hat. Close your eyes.
She shot him a wary gaze. He placed a reassuring hand on her shoulder.
Trust me.
She held her breath and complied with the request. Heidi felt his rough hands slide under her collar and move toward her chest. She started to pull away.
Please hold still, or I will stick you. Okay,
I think I got the clasp. Open your eyes. The young woman examined her dress. A silver and black cameo brooch sparkled in the dim light.
Oh, I love it, but I can't take this from you. It looks so expensive.
Please, I want you to have something from me that will always be with you.
But this looks so expensive, and we're not even dating.
About that, I would be honored if you gave me a chance.
She looked to the floor and dragged a foot back and forth.
It's complicated.
He let out a frustrated grunt.
It's because you figured out I'm Jewish and your family is Nazis.
A look of shame twisted across her face. He stuck his chin out.
I won't apologize for what I am.
Her eyes slowly rolled up his white jacket and stopped at a faint paw print on his lapel.
It was you that saved Adolf, wasn't it?
He raised an eyebrow.
Do you remember that heavy rain we got weeks ago that flooded the streets? I saw you run into the mud and save my kitty, Adolf, from a tank about to crush him. It was pouring so hard I don't think you saw me watching.
A warmth rushed through her. She leaned in and softly placed her soft lips against his. A look of surprise shot across his face until he melted and settled into the kiss. Heidi slowly pulled away and gazed at him.
That's from Adolf.
He stood speechless and love-drunk.
Renati's voice rang into the room. Hurry up, Heidi. I want to dance one more song before we have to leave.
Heidi reached for Murray's hand.
Come on. Show me what you've been practicing.
When Heidi returned to the makeshift dance floor, Renati immediately noticed the brooch and grinned. She whispered,
It's beautiful. Don't let your dad see it.
Ethan was attracted to the exchange and pointed at the cameo.
So this is what you spent all the rest of your money on?
Murray turned crimson and he slugged his friend in the arm.
Don't point it out.
Renati gawked at the pin.
Ethan, come take a closer look. The detail is really nice.
As Ethan walked closer, Heidi leaned forward to display the cameo. Her gold charm from Klaus spilled out of her dress and came to rest next to the cameo.
Ethan smiled. I didn't know you were Jewish. How come I've never seen you in temple?
Heidi shrugged her shoulders and looked confused. Ethan pointed at the hand-shaped jewelry.
You're wearing a hamsa.
Heidi rapidly tucked it back into her dress.
Oh, it was a gift I got the other day. I didn't know it was Jewish.
He narrowed his eyes and stepped closer to Heidi.
What do you mean you got that the other day? The only store that sold something like that was my cousin's. He's missing, and so is all of his jewelry. Who gave it to you?
Renati stepped between Ethan and Heidi.
Back off, Ethan. It was a gift from her father's friend.
So, you mean a damn Nazi gave it to her after he looted it from my family's store?
Heidi walked over to her trench coat and put it on.
I think we may need to go. Come on, Renati.
Murray chased after her, but she slammed the door on him and hustled down the alley.
What the hell did you do that for, Ethan?
I can't believe you're taking her side. She's a Nazi.
Murray shoved him.
No, she's not. Her family may be, but not her. Take it back.
Ethan steadied himself.
She's wearing a necklace stolen from my family shop. What more do you need to know? I can't believe you would turn your back on your own people like this and look the other way just because you're love-struck.
Murray opened the back door.
I can't hear this right now. Just leave.
Heidi stroked the brooch.
I miss them.
Renati laid her hand on Heidi's shoulder.
I know. Me too. It's been almost a month. I don't know how much longer I can avoid them. I saw Murray a week ago across the road, and I practically had to run from him so I wouldn't have to talk to him. He's stubborn and hasn't stopped trying to speak to me.
Renati said,
You're smart to end it. It'd never work. You can't exactly bring him to a dinner and introduce him to your family. Plus, from what I'm seeing around here, there won't be many Jews left in town soon. I'm really worried about the guys. I keep overhearing my father and Klaus. They keep talking about the raids and rounding up Jews. Klaus is getting unbearable. He practically comes around every night now. He brags about how he's proud to be cleansing the city of racial impurity.
Renati held her hand.
I know how tough that must be to hear right now. I'm sure our boys will be left alone. They don't really look or act Jewish.
She continued rubbing the brooch.
Murray is just so sweet. I can't stop thinking about him. To think he spent all his money on presents for me, I can't imagine how hard it was to find a gramophone, just so he would have music to practice to. It's the nicest thing anyone has ever done for me. I know this is all wrong, but I can't help it. I want him.
You got a present from Klaus, too. That's pretty nice. I've never had a guy give me anything.
Giving me a stolen necklace is not that romantic. I am not in love with Klaus, and I don't think I ever will be.
Heidi removed the chain.
I want you to find Ethan and give this to him. Tell him to use it to help find his cousin. Also, tell him I'm sorry and I didn't know.
Renati took the jewelry.
I think I can find Ethan easy enough. Hopefully this will ease things over. Do you want me to see if they can meet us at the dance tomorrow night?
Heidi nodded her head and teared up.
Yes, I can't stand it anymore. I have to see him. I just hope he forgives me.
Renati wiped away Heidi's tears.
Okay, I will handle it. I miss Ethan too. Let me go look for him right now, and I'll try to get back here before nightfall. Be careful. The checkpoints are getting really bad out there. Make sure you have your papers on you.
Renati departed, and Heidi made herself comfortable in the parlor. She double-checked that her mother was still out shopping, and then hunted down some big band music on the radio. She held her brooch and wept quietly. Renati returned at sunset, and the two sat privately in her bedroom.
I found Ethan. I think sending him that gold helped him. I would dare say he was even touched. He told me things had gotten really bad on his side of town. Almost all the Jewish-owned businesses are gone, and now entire families are vanishing. He wants his family to leave, and he's trying to talk Murray's family into going with him. He did say Murray and he will be going to the club tomorrow if you wanted to meet him. The dance might be the last chance we ever have to see the fellas. If you want to be with Murray, this might be your only shot.
Oh, that's terrible. Why can't Hitler just leave them alone? Jews never did anything to me. I know I barely know him, but I just can't lose my Murray already. He's not like anyone I know. He can't leave. This is so unfair. I hate this.
Both girls' eyes grew damp, and Renati said,
Maybe you can talk them out of leaving at the dance tomorrow. We can show them what they're going to be missing if they don't stick around.
Heidi smiled.
Help me find an outfit that will knock his socks off.
Heidi rechecked her bag, satisfying herself that she had everything in order for the dance that evening. She stuffed it under the bed and went to help her mother with preparing the meal. She took the knife and started to dice up the radishes.
Mother, I just wanted to remind you I need to go study at Renati's right after dinner.
Her mother shook her head.
No, your father says the streets won't be safe tonight. You need to stay in and study here.
A queasy feeling rippled up her spine.
Mother, Renati has all the notes. I have to go see her. I'm sorry. You will have to figure something out. Your father said they will be purifying the streets tonight. That's nowhere for a young lady to be.
But Mutti!
I said no, young lady. Now, mind your knife and chop those carrots.
Heidi took her anger out on the vegetables as she furrowed her brow at her mother. The two stopped prepping when Mr. Heisenberg and Klaus entered the house. Her mother dropped everything and brought them drinks.
Welcome home. You two should rest before your hard work tonight.
See, Klaus, my wife comes from good German stock. She knows how to take care of a husband. My daughter will make a fine wife, too.
He leaned over and kissed his wife on the cheek and said,
I am going to bring back something really nice for you, too. I bet you ladies would love some new hats.
Mrs. Heisenberg rubbed her hands together.
I could use a new hat. Mine is all worn out.
The color drained from Heidi's face.
Mother, I really need those notes. Can I run over to Renati's and come right back? I won't be gone long.
Her mother rolled her eyes.
Fine, hurry. I don't want you to keep our guest long.
Klaus stood up and grasped Heidi's hand.
If you're lucky, I will get you a few extra hats.
Hurry back. I have a story about last night's sweep. I want to tell you all about it. Heidi tried to fake a smile and then departed. She ran down the twisting alleys with lightning speed until she arrived at Renati's. Renati answered the door and Heidi flung herself into her arms.
What's wrong? I can't understand you through all your crying. Slow down and catch your breath.
Heidi sucked a gulp of air down and whispered,
I can't be long. You have to go to the haberdashery and warn Murray.
Warn him?
Yes, my father is going to raid his family's store. I heard them talking about it. Please, there is no time. You have to get to them before it's too late.
Okay, I will go now.
Tell Murray I am so sorry. I will try and find a way out tonight and explain it to him. You will have to go without me and I will meet you at the club. Be careful. Nazis will be everywhere tonight.
Heidi kissed her best friend on the cheek and sprinted back down the street. When Heidi returned, she entered the back of the house and went right into her room. She took the hand mirror and used her cold fingers to press on her swollen eyes. Her mother swung the door open.
Did you get your notes?
Yes, I already put them away.
Why did you sneak in the back entrance?
She pointed at her tear-soaked eyes.
My allergies are acting up and I didn't want Klaus to see my eyes this red.
Her mother nodded. That was good. We don't want to do anything that will make him lose interest in you.
Let me get you a cold rag. That will help.
After a few minutes of compression, Heidi joined her family and helped serve the men dinner. A German march was softly playing in the parlor as they settled in to eat. Klaus and her father started exchanging stories of their latest triumphs over the Jewish people. Heidi just shifted her food from one side of the plate to the other. Her stomach filled with more knots upon each tale. She thought to herself as she watched the men eat, "Keep them here as long as you can. Buy Murray as much time as you can. Tell me about the time you two cleaned out the Jewish menace from the jewelry district."
The table smiled as Heidi found new interest. Mr. Heisenberg slapped Klaus on the arm.
"Why don't you tell her? Hitler would have been proud if he saw what you did that night."
Klaus blushed.
"The Juden was so stupid he didn't know why we were there. He was still in his shop that night when we arrived. He thought we wanted to buy jewelry and invited us in. The owner tried to use his fast-talking Jew devil tongue on us to confuse our men, but your father saw right through his trickery. Our group showed him what we think of his kind. After we finished with him, we liberated his business for Hitler. Now, the space is ready for a proper German owner. You would be so proud of your father if you saw him in action. The Juden are terrified of him and beg for their lives."
Heidi held her clenching gut. "What do you do with all those Juden you shut down?"
Klaus grinned devilishly.
"We send them to a place where they can get the help they need."
Mr. Heisenberg waved his hand and cut Klaus off.
"That's enough about that."
He took a drink and said,
"All you need to know is we are keeping our community pure. That's all that is important."
Her mother stood up.
"A toast to you brave men for keeping us safe. May Germany watch over its fine citizens."
After dinner, Heidi approached her mother quietly.
"My allergies are making me ill. I think I want to go to my room to study and then get some sleep."
She agreed.
"I noticed you didn't eat. Say goodnight and go ahead."
Heidi said goodnight to the men and departed to her room. She staged her room with her textbooks and notes. She then lay in bed and listened carefully for the sounds of the men departing. As she anticipated, her mother stuck her head in her room and observed her daughter already asleep. She softly closed the door and returned to her cleaning. Heidi sprung out of bed and quietly changed into her dance outfit. She looked in the hand mirror and pinned on her brooch. When she was satisfied with her hairstyle, she shimmied the window open. With as much silent modesty as she could muster, she climbed out without showing too much skin, just in case someone in the alley was watching. With a short fall to the ground, she was free of the house. She ran down into the dark and avoided the gas street lamps the best she could. Thoughts of Murray being beaten and dragged away filled her mind as she hustled down the maze of alleys. Murray looked over his shoulder.
"Where is she?"
Renati lit a cigarette for Ethan. "She said she would make it if she could. I know you Schwingpapins got to get back and help your families."
"Thanks to Heidi and you, my family cleared everything valuable out of our haberdashery. When they raid it tonight, they won't find much more than rags."
Ethan's eyes scanned the room.
"Murray, I'm going to have to split soon, Cat. My family needs me home to help pack. I finally convinced them to get out of this country. So many of our friends have disappeared, so we're leaving tonight."
"I know, my friend. Just a few more minutes."
Ethan tipped his hat.
"Can I have one last spin, kitten?"
She snatched his hand.
"You can have more than that."
She pressed her lips against his, and the two embraced. They shuffled over to a dark corner and continued experiencing each other. Murray circled the room and kept a vigilant lookout. The music thumped in the underground club, shaking the solitary light bulb hanging from the wire over the dance floor. Murray listened to the clarinets echo across the dark room until he felt a hand on his shoulder. He spun around, only to see Renati and Ethan arm in arm.
"I'm going to spend my last minutes escorting this hot little alligator back to her house. Don't wait too long. Your family needs you."
Renati winked at Murray.
"Don't worry, Hotler. I'll let her know you were here and how you feel about her. Once this Nazi business blows over, you'll be back here hopping with her again. I'll get her to wait for you. Just hang in there."
She blew him a lipstick-filled kiss, and the two new lovers hustled away. Murray paced the club and checked the clock on the wall.
"Come on, come on,"
he mumbled. He made his way to the bar and dug a note out of his pocket.
"Might as well have one last beer."
He raised the stein in the air and toasted,
"Heidi, here's to what could have been."
He started chugging his brew until he was interrupted by a tap on the shoulder.
"Hey, slow down on that or you won't be able to Charleston."
Murray coughed up his beer as he gazed on Heidi's tight, low-cut dress.
She grabbed his free hand. I'm sorry for ignoring you. I just didn't want to fall in love with a... you know. He lowered his beer.
I don't know. You mean a Jew?
She wrapped her arms around him. That's right. But it's too late. I love myself a Jew. She forced her lips against his and kissed him deeply. The two tingled as they swapped energy back and forth. Heidi pushed herself away and took a breath. Oh, my! Murray finally put his mug on the seat and embraced her. He gave in to his teenage lust and pressed himself as close as he could against her. Murray dipped her in locked lips. Time in the club slowed. The lights blurred and the music softened. For that one moment in time, the two felt a taste of perfect love. Screams interrupted their beautiful bliss, and the two were jolted back into reality. Gray and black uniforms poured into the club, and the swing kids scrambled. Murray's eyes darted around the room and shifted through the hysteria. He grabbed her hand.
Come on, you can't be seen here. Follow me, there's a side exit we can use.
He shoved his way through the crowd, pulling her in tow. She was ripped away from him, and she turned to hear Klaus's familiar voice.
Heidi, what are you doing here? Why are you at this kike club?
She struggled to wiggle from his grasp. Let go! Murray, help! Klaus flung her to the ground.
How could you do this to me?
She tried to scramble to her feet, but he shoved her back down to the cold, filthy floor.
What will my men say when they find out you are a Juden lover? What will your father say?
Let me up! She pushed back to her feet, but he slammed her hard into the ground.
You stay in the mud where you belong. You're tainted now, and you belong down there with the rest of the cockroaches.
Heidi braced her hands on the floor and kicked Klaus in the chest. He rose to his feet and pulled back his leg.
So the Juden lover wants to kick. I'll show you how to kick. Crack!
Klaus's head tilted as shards of the Bierstein exploded around it. The German soldier collapsed as Murray scrambled to pick Heidi up.
Did he hurt you, darling?
She pulled on Murray's bloody hand and got to her feet. You're bleeding. He looked down at the damaged hand.
I guess these mugs aren't supposed to be used as clubs. Come on, we've really got to go now.
The two pushed through the crowd toward the exit. Murray shoved his way toward freedom. Heidi held tight to him this time. She watched him fight his way through the commotion until the two found themselves in a group of black shirts. She screamed as nightstick after nightstick fell on her love. Murray turned his back and shielded her from the blows until he finally buckled and slouched to the ground. Heidi shrieked and dove on his body, putting herself between the soldiers and her love. The soldiers looked at their commander to see what to do. Heidi screamed through, "Father, please, no more!"
Officier Heisenberg raised his hand. "Stop! Take this girl to the truck for re-education! Take the Juden to the train station!"
"Father, no! Just let us go!" The soldiers yanked her off Murray, but she wrestled her way free and dropped down to peer into Murray's bloodied face. "I won't let you disappear, too. I'll find you." Afterward. This is part one of this short story. Jazz music really was illegal in Nazi Germany, and the swing kids risked their freedom, and even their lives, to partake in it. The lingo and swing lexicon used in this story is historically accurate. On a side note, there really are cats with cute little Hitler mustaches, and they are nicknamed Kittlers. There are entire websites devoted to them. If you are thinking about adopting a Kittler, just be aware that they do like to invade the territory of Polish and French cats. This has been If It Ain't Got That Swing by Taryn P. Lupo, narrated by Adam Lishua.